Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we've been dealing with all these presidential candidates over the past week. Today, a change of pace. The Majority Leader of the United States Senate, Ray Hager, has the rundown.
Thanks, Sam. Today's guest is Senator Harry Reid from Searchlight, Nevada. And to no one's surprise, he's angry at the Bush administration.
And coming up on the Power Pundit panel today, Marlene Lockhart and Randy Thompson. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmaker.
Nevada Newsmakers, brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Here at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, just 10 minutes east of Sparks, we are constructing a 16-mile expressway connecting I-80 to Highway 50. This expressway provides direct access and will make it much easier to get to work. A direct route for employment opportunities. From 100% fiber optics to clean, reliable power, welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the largest industrial park in the world, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
It will be a short outing for this young right-hander as the manager heads to the mound. Uh-oh. I have never seen anything like this.
There's an easier way inside local sports. Las Vegas Review-Journal. Get inside.
Since its creation more than a decade ago, the Southern Nevada Water Authority has focused on three goals: preserving water quality, improving water conservation in Southern Nevada, and meeting the community's current and future water needs. Through thoughtful planning, responsible management, and collaboration, it's succeeding. As we move into the 21st century, the authority continues to embrace sustainable water development and efficient water use. That's our promise to Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And we welcome to the program the United States Senator who is the Majority Leader in the Senate, Senator Harry Reid. Welcome to the program, Senator.
Sam, thanks for allowing me to be on your show.
Always a pleasure, sir. You have your own parking space here if you want it. Story breaking today, that's a continuation of the Walter Reed Army Hospital story from last week. We have now a bipartisan 9-member commission headed by Bob Dole and Donna Shalala. And according to the New York Times, they said today the military medical system must be redirected to meet the needs of the large numbers of seriously wounded soldiers now returning from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, rather than mainly serving the aging veterans of earlier conflicts. And one of the things that critics of both the Congress and the media have been saying over the past week is that you should have known that this problem was occurring. So I ask you this question in this vein. Are there problems with the VA hospitals and treatment centers in Nevada that you are aware of?
We don't have the problem in Nevada that they have in a number of other places in our country, but Walter Reed is a prime example where we have combat veterans coming back with all kinds of wounds. This that we just discovered with Walter Reed is what is wrong with this whole Iraq situation. There was poor planning going to war. There was no plan to win the war. Now, can you imagine not having budgets that necessitated taking care of these veterans? 10% of all the veterans that go to Iraq wind up with some type of head injury. 10%. Now, they don't have to be part of one of the explosive devices. You could be a block away and still wind up with brain trauma. And there is no planning for this. We have a facility that we're talking about closing, Walter Reed. There was mold on the walls. They were filthy, dirty. To think that the United States, the only superpower left in the world, can't even take care of its own wounded.
Where are we going to find the money from, Senator?
Well, I guarantee you what the president's done for everything else is tax cuts, and that hasn't done the trick. So, you know, maybe we're going to have to take a look at rearranging some of these monies. We have a situation where the veterans have been given the short end of everything. There are some veterans, when they ask for adjustment in their claim or they file a claim, must wait sometimes up to almost 2 years. What is this all about? This is an administration that has failed our country, and there's no better example of that than this and Katrina. You look at Walter Reed and you look at Katrina, you see how this administration reacts to a problem.
Okay, but now that you and the Democrats control the House and the Senate, what are you able to do about this?
Let's first of all have your viewers understand. Yes, we control the Congress. I control the Congress by a vote of 50 to 49. I have one senator that's incapacitated. We're doing the very best we can with an administration that has got us into an intractable war that has killed 3,200 Americans. We've wounded 25,000, and the president should plan for this. It's not our job. I'm not the commander-in-chief. I'm the majority leader of the Senate.
Let me talk about the fact that the Democrats caught a lot of heat, especially on the late-night comedy shows, over the non-binding resolution against the surge. But this is just the first step. What's the second?
First of all, I don't watch those shows. I'm glad you have time to do that. I think that we have to understand this is not something for the comedy shows. It's something for very serious in nature. We have a situation in Iraq where we believe that a surge is not going to help. Bringing thousands of more troops there is not going to help. All you have to do is look at what the Prime Minister of Iraq told the President when they met face-to-face in Iraq. The Prime Minister of Iraq told him a few weeks ago, get the American troops out of Baghdad. That's what he told them. The President didn't listen to that and went ahead and did this. Now, this resolution was a message from the American people. We were legislating what the American people wanted to do. 56% of the House of Representatives, on a bipartisan basis, said, President, don't do the surge. 56% of the Senate, on a bipartisan basis, said, don't do the surge. Now, the President is a commander-in-chief. There are very few things we can do that are binding in nature, but certainly we have the obligation, the right, to send this message to the President. This is part of a process. You go back to Vietnam. The Vietnam War was not ended in one vote. It took a series of events in the Congress to get that war to end. The same is going to happen here. Within a few days, the Iraq War will be going into its fifth year. We're an occupying force in a country thousands and thousands of miles away. That's not what America is all about.
But what's the next step, Senator?
We're going to hopefully have a debate Monday and Tuesday of next week. We have a resolution. I'm having a caucus tomorrow. It will be binding in nature what we're going to do to send some more legislation to the President. We're hopeful that we can get it passed. Now, remember, the Senate's an unusual body. Most everything takes 60 votes, not a simple majority. But we understand that. We knew that going into it. That's the way this country's been for more than 220 years. So we're going to hopefully continue this debate next Monday and Tuesday.
Okay, let's take a break. Much more with Majority Leader of the United States Senate, Harry Reid, right after this.
For a videotaped copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The tapes are $20 each, including shipping.
Championship courses, nature's beauty, and life's distractions fading away.
My family started this business 27 years ago.
We work hard to serve our customers and our community. But it's getting harder and harder to keep the doors open.
For example, our workers' comp is going through the roof. Isn't anyone on my side anymore?
The Retail Association of Nevada is. If you're a small business owner, we can cut your workers' comp by up to 50%. Lobby for your interests and keep you informed. Put us to work today.
Remember the person who first taught me about safety. We're going to have a great time swimming, but we're going to be safe, right?
I learned safety first, and take care of the people you care about.
We look after each other like family down here.
Hey, thanks. That's why I've been mining for 17 years and haven't been hurt.
Nevada Mining. It works for Nevada. It's working for you. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shadd.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with United States Senator Harry Reid, the majority leader in the Senate. Senator, last Sunday, the controller of the United States was on 60 Minutes talking about how Social Security was the least of our problems compared to Medicare and other entitlements. He said that everyone on the Hill knows about it, but no one's doing anything about it, and that we're leaving a huge burden for our children and grandchildren. How do you respond to that?
I respond this way. He's right. One of the things this president has done is trying to frighten the American people that Social Security is about to go broke. It's not about to go broke. If we do nothing with Social Security, nothing, for the next 40 years, people will draw 100% of their benefits. If we do nothing after 40 years, then they will draw 80% of their benefits. But we need to do something. We have to make sure that in the out years that this is all taken care of. So the comptroller's right. It is not an immediate problem. Medicare and Medicaid are, but it's part of a problem we have in America today, Sam, health care costs. We have 47 million people with no health insurance. We have a system that is broken and so expensive. It's hurting Medicare. It's hurting the cost of taking care of our veterans. It is just a system that's going to take massive changes. And until we get a president that's willing to weigh into this, we're not going to be able to do it. We need to address this issue. We've tried to sit down with the president. I spent time with the budget chairman, Senator Conrad of North Dakota, his ranking member, formerly the chairman, Judd Gregg of New Hampshire, Democrat and Republican, to try to come up with something that the president worked with us. Put everything on the table. We have so much red ink in this country. Remember, the last 3 years of the Clinton administration, we were spending less money than we were taking in. We were retiring the debt by almost $500 billion. We've built it up now by $6 trillion. So the comptroller's right. We got all kinds of problems. President tried to privatize Social Security. That was the wrong way to go, and the American people jumped up and said that wasn't the right way to go, and we agreed with them and stopped that.
So in your thinking then, that there's nothing that can be even attempted about trying to fix this problem until we have somebody else in the White House?
Sam, no, that's my point. No, I think there are things we can do. That's why I've met with Judd Gregg and Kent Conrad to see if the president would be willing to sit down and talk about how to solve these problems, putting everything on the table. We need to put all entitlements on the table. We have to make sure that we look at all domestic discretionary spending, defense spending, what their tax plans are for the future of this country, revenues, put everything on the table and talk about it. But at this stage, the president's been unwilling to do that.
United States Attorney for Nevada Dan Bogden was given his walking papers with several other U.S. attorneys, and in hearings reported by the Las Vegas Review-Journal, he said he was given a reason by acting Associate Attorney General William Mercer, a friend and a U.S. attorney from Montana. He said the administration has a very short 2-year window of opportunity for United States attorney positions, and that this would be an opportunity to put others into those positions so they could build their resumes and get experience so that for future possibilities of becoming federal judges and other political type positions, they could better handle it. Your thoughts on that?
Sam, Dan Bogden, Republican appointee, not my appointee, he has been hurt. This man was a fine lawyer, a fine prosecutor. There was not a single mark against him. All of his evaluations were very, very high. This is a cheap political trip that Karl Rove was engineering from the White House, Karl Rove, the president's assistant, to take this man away from his chosen profession. That's what they've done. He can no longer be a federal prosecutor. That's part of the rules. What they have done is unethical, immoral, and I think illegal, and we're not to the bottom of it yet.
Okay, we should expect more developments then?
Absolutely. We're not going to let this one go. This is wrong. What has happened to fine people who are trying to uphold the federal law?
The presidential candidate forum in Carson City, leading to the caucuses next year, appears to have been an overwhelming success. The Republicans are working on their own caucus here in Nevada as a result, and a lot of states are moving their primaries to be held earlier. What does this do to states who have a later primary? Will their results be irrelevant?
Well, I don't think irrelevant. I don't think it's a bad idea that we have the primaries a little closer. The whole system needs a little changing. That's the reason I worked so hard to get Nevada into the process. Think about this. Iowa, a state that has a few people in it, but no diversity. And you have New Hampshire, there are no people in it and no diversity. Those were the two states that determined who would be the Democratic nominee for President of the United States. I thought that was wrong. I worked very hard to get Nevada part of the process, South Carolina part of the process. So the system's changing for the better, in my opinion.
Former governor of Massachusetts, Mitt Romney, is running on the Republican ticket for president and is a Mormon, as are you. In polling, that appears to be a problem for Governor Romney. How do you view it?
Well, I don't know Mitt Romney. I'm not a big fan of any of the Republicans running for president at this stage. I would say this. Religion should have no bearing on someone's qualifications to be president of the United States. John Kennedy proved this when he ran for president in 1960. He brought out in the open something that people said would never happen. He said, I'm a Catholic, but I'm not driven by what the Pope tells me. He is driven by what's good for the country. The American public accepted that, and that, I thought, was a dead issue. So I would hope that Mitt Romney, his qualifications are based upon what he's done politically, not what he's done during the time that he feels he wants to meet his maker.
Let's change topics here. I was watching you on C-SPAN the other morning, and you were telling the other senators that be prepared to work not only a full week, but perhaps holidays as well. You're changing the whole way of doing business in Congress.
Well, I think we've been able to get a lot done this year. We got the most sweeping ethics lobbying reform in the history of the country. We've got a minimum wage bill we've completed. We did funding that was left over from the last Congress. We did that. These were all done on a bipartisan basis. We're now going to finish the next day or two the implementation of the 9/11 Commission recommendations, which are two and a half years past due. So we're working long and hard, and it's interesting, Sam, when you say we're going to be here Friday, maybe Saturday. You know, a lot of times we finish things on Thursday. They get the work done anyway. I think it's been good for the institution to let people know that we can work 5 weeks, 5 weeks at a time without a break to go home. That's the way they used to do it around here, and we can still do it.
The Energy Department continues to push forward with Yucca Mountain. You and Senator Ensign are taking action to force the government to monitor the storage sites. And obviously you've continued to cut funding for Yucca Mountain over the years. What happens to all the money that's been collected from the utilities over the years that was supposed to go towards Yucca Mountain?
Well, a lot of it's been spent, about $8 or $9 billion, if you can believe that. The rest of it is... I don't know what they've spent that $9 billion on. I got a big hole. There's a big hole in the ground out there. But frankly, they've wasted a lot of engineering consultants. As we learned, a lot of the science out there has been phony anyway, as we learned from the emails. Yucca Mountain is a dead program. It's outlived its usefulness. And the sooner this administration recognizes it's a wasted program, the better off we'll be. I think it's important to note that all Democratic presidential candidates who came to Nevada said they opposed Yucca Mountain.
And that's where we have to leave it. Senator Reid, always a pleasure to have you on the program. So
thanks,
we look
Sam.
Forward to you coming back. Thank you.
When you need a new employee, how can you be sure who you're really hiring? A background investigation by Employer Links will uncover criminal records, verify the applicant's education, check their credit history and Social Security verification. An investigation will research professional licenses and driver's licenses and let you know why they're unemployed. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment. Who spent their entire lives around trucks have never seen a truck like this. The Honda Ridgeline, the Motor Trend 2006 Truck of the Year. back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Chad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, it's our political analyst roundtable, as we always do on Thursdays now. Randy Thompson is here, Marlene Lockhart, along with Ray Hager from the Reno Gazette-Journal. Let's start out, Marlene. News has come out over the last couple of days about the Governor's Defense Fund. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I have to tell you, I think it's absolutely topic A at the legislature. It is a buzz with, everything since this governor has been sworn in several times has been bungled. But now even filing the report of these funds with all the attention on it, he left off major contributors. There's going to have to be an amendment. Plus the whole focus of the legality. I mean, the legislature has a law that prohibits any state official or legislator from collecting campaign funds 1 month before the legislature begins and 1 month afterwards. And now here we have huge contributions that far exceed the $10,000 limit that were probably limited out during the campaign. And many of these folks have huge matters before the legislature, such as water.
But let me ask you this, though, Marlene. Isn't there a difference between campaign funds and raising funds for a defense fund?
Absolutely not. It doesn't even... Randy, there is no distinction in the statute. And I'll tell you something. If that flies... If that's upheld, you're going to see every legislator start creating legal defense funds for what might be coming down the pike.
Randy?
Ever since Clinton and Monica Lewinsky and Whitewatergate, we've had trouble with legal defense funds.
Wait a minute.
Is kind of a standard nowadays, and everybody picks on whoever sets one up. I'm sorry, give the guy a break. He's been attacked by everybody from 3 weeks before the election to today, and he's just trying to run the state. And if we wanted to put what the state's first and what want to get accomplished for the state first, then let's just let the lawyers fight this out and let's get back to making good laws.
Randy, first, shouldn't he decide if he's a federal official or a state official? They say they didn't, they created this, and there are distinct federal guidelines to creating a legal defense fund. And what you cited were national federal folks. But yet when it comes to following the federal rules, all of a sudden he was a state candidate and they don't apply. You can't have it both ways. Well, and when this happened, he was still, he just decided he wasn't a congressman anymore. He failed to file the trip reports when he took free trips to the Caribbean or wherever the heck it was. I mean, come on, we've got serious problems. And Randy, you cannot deny that that is topic A at the legislature.
Oh, no, I'm not denying it's topic A. And I'm looking at the press release that was released yesterday with the amended financial disclosure statement. I think he's trying to get out there, get ahead of this, trying to say, I am trying to be open. The one thing that nobody can say of Jim Gibbons is that he's not an honest, upfront, ethical officer and gentleman. And I think he's truly trying, but he was going through a transition. He has lawyers. Maybe they sent him wrong. Maybe they sent him right. I don't know. Let's just let the... I mean, but unfortunately, when you get to this kind of stuff, lawyers get involved, and it becomes a mess.
Wait just a minute, though. Make a point, Randy. Isn't there a duty to know the laws when you're an official congressman?
Yes.
And when you're running for the state office to say the lawyers did it? He conveniently didn't file the appropriate forms and... for his trip and filed like 4 years, 3 years after the trip, he filed an amended ethics form. You can't just say, oops, somebody found out about the trip, so now I better go back and file an amended claim. That is his excuse.
But it's not unusual to file an amended claim.
It is for the governor of the state of Nevada. I mean, this is becoming very serious.
Let's bring Ray into this. Ray, you've been spending time down in the legislature. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, we have to let this thing play out. I think that both Marlene and Randy make good points. It seems to me it's really a quagmire for the governor. And this is more just one more bad dealing that's put on his plate. I don't know. How long has the guy been in office? 2 months? Every day seems something new, bad comes out.
Okay, but who brought that on?
I think the governor brought it on.
Okay. I mean,
I'm not blaming anybody.
Okay,
no.
Folks can reach out and say, give the guy a break. As far as I know, there hasn't been some boogeyman behind every bush.
No.
I mean, these things...
Well, there has been, to the extent of the Wall Street Journal, it's certainly been, you know, stirring up this. And what their agenda is, I have no idea.
What, they're not supposed to report?
You know what? I think that their reporting, as far as I'm concerned, the timing of their reporting and getting involved in the Nevada election, you know, Warren Trepp and his partner are in a sandbox fighting it out. And Jim Gibbons is like the hockey puck in the middle between these two millionaires, perhaps billionaires, fighting each other. And so a lot of that is connected to that. And the Wall Street Journal is obviously going with Warren Trepp's partner on this.
No, and Sam, I think you're wrong on this. This is what I think happened. The Wall Street Journal is not picking on Jim Gibbons or picking on Nevada. They were looking at the black budget of the federal government, all this secret stuff that no one knows about. And in their net, when they went out researching this, they caught Governor Gibbons in their net. And that's what happened here.
And now it's revealed yesterday, another $100 million
I think that you're serving on the Intelligence Committee, and you have one of your constituents who is operating in that field, and you have the ability to bring that project to the attention of the committee, and all the other committee members have to vote on it, and all the rest of the delegation knew all about it. So I don't think it's as black as the Wall Street Journal was painting it, and that's where we got to leave it. We'll be right back on Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers, brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and reviewjournal.com.
Thanks for your help, Don.
Sure, Mike. How's your construction business going?
It's really growing. How's your business going?
Well, ever since I opened the restaurant, I've been having trouble with my workers' comp program. Who handles your workers' comp?
Well, I use Pro Group Management. They really work with me.
Are they expensive?
Well, I've never had an increase in rates.
Whoa.
I'll get you the number. And thanks again, Don. I couldn't have done this without you.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
You'll be glad to know the sprinkler system worked and the pundits have been put out as far as being on fire. Coming up next week, Dina Titus, Chuck Muth, John Galtney, and Mindy Elliott right here on Nevada Newsmakers.